Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Okay, praise the Lord. I'm just going to read you a scripture. First, I'm going to pray for you. Father God, I thank you for every person that has joined us, either by Facebook or by the Zoom audio. I thank you for them. I praise you for them. Thank you for who they are and who you are in them. And Father, I thank you that you are in the process of preparing them for, I feel like the fullness of their identity is coming forth, who they really are in you. During this season, there's going to be a lot of things that will come to life and come to light. And those things which have lain dormant, the giftings and the seeds of God, God has put seeds in you and God is raising those up. And during this season, those seeds are being watered with the very life and the light of God. God is bringing people forth because we're entering into a day where all kinds of people are hungry and thirsty for God. People who really didn't have time for God before are getting very hungry, very thirsty. And to be honest, some of them are scared. We're getting phone calls, family members, some of our partners' family members, some of our family members who weren't so interested before are becoming extremely interested in hearing, what does the Bible say? What do I do? What do I do now? How do I get to know Jesus? So, Father, we pray for our partners and our friends to become really gifted and skilled soul winners and disciplers, because I really believe you're bringing us into a season where it's all hands on deck. Father God, that you're going to use us mightily, and you've promised it for many, many years. We just didn't know how it was going to happen, but I think this is how. So I thank you for it. And Father, I ask that you give me every single word, that every word that I say will be a blessing, will be encouraging, will be uplifting, and will be straight from the heart of God for my beloved friends and partners in Jesus' name. So I'm going to read you a scripture. God gave me this scripture today. It's Isaiah 43:2. And this is a promise from our Father to you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. Isn't that amazing? Now, it doesn't say there won't be waters, and it doesn't say there won't be flames. It says that they won't be able to touch you. And you know, one time years ago, I was in a situation that was literally, I thought it was going to kill me. I thought that it was over. It was a very bad situation, and I was doing the best I knew to stay in faith. But I want to be honest with you, it was a terrifying situation. And I had a vision that I want to share with you, and I think this will help some of you. In this vision, I was in a room full of fire. There was fire on my right. There was fire on my left, and the flames were taller than me. They were 7 or 8 feet tall, very big flames all around me. And in this room, the room was probably, I would say, about 20 feet long. Again, this is a vision, excuse me. And it looked like I would be engulfed in the flames. And I was crying out to Jesus, you know, save me, get me out of here. You know, I wanted him to just pick me up and pull me right out of that situation or extinguish those flames. But I saw Jesus ahead of me, and he was facing me, and he was at the far end of the room, and he locked eyes with me. And what he said was, don't look at the flames, keep your eyes locked on mine. And I knew what he was saying. See, you know, our flesh, we want out. Get me out of the situation. Fix it. You know, just push the button, Lord. Just fix this. Make the fire go away. You know, it's too big. It's too scary. But what he was saying is that he wasn't going to do that for me, but he was going to cause me to walk through it unscathed, unburned, without the smell of smoke on me. But he was asking me to walk through it. And now I'm so thankful that he did it that way. Because what he was doing was he was training me to know that fire can't burn me, no matter how loud it crackles, no matter how bright it seems, no matter how big it looks. That the truth is, if I will keep my focus on Jesus, that fire will not burn me. God will make a way for me. And God, that's what God's promise is to us. His promise isn't that everything will always be perfect in the earth. In fact, quite the opposite. He said, those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, there's a Bible promise I've never liked very much, you know, but it is a promise. You know, but what he does say is no matter what is going on around you, I am with you. And more than with you, I'm in you. And more than that, really, we are one. The Father is saying to you that by what he's done, if you're born again, I believe and hope and pray that everyone watching me is born again. And if not, please, please text us, because we want to lead you in the sinner's prayer. Because Jesus said, you know, you must be born again. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But here's what God has done. When you were born again, you literally became, in the spirit, a new creation. I just find that to be amazing. You weren't just forgiven, although you were forgiven. You weren't just redeemed. You were literally created a brand new being in the realms of God, in the realm of the spirit, which is a real place. It's a real environment, a real atmosphere. You were born from above. And that person, that's the real you, by the way. It's not the you that's flashed that you see in the mirror in the morning. That is not the real you. The real you is that born again spirit. And that person, the Bible says, was created after the image of his holiness. The Bible says, put on the new self. What's that? Your born again spirit, which is created after the image of his holiness. That means that that real you, the real you, the real Joe, the real Ashley, the real Stacy, the real Holly, the real Lori, the real you is your spirit man, your born again spirit. That's the real you. And the reason that's important is because that spirit person is made in the image of Jesus Christ. Holy, justified, righteous. Isn't that amazing? Full of the power of God. Come on. Full of the grace of God, full of the compassion and the love of God. We have been crying out to God to give us stuff from heaven that he has already placed within our physical body. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what did he say? He said, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is in you. So we need to begin to look at God a different way, see God a different way, seek him a different way, and we need to pray differently, right? Because you know what we've done in the past is we've begged him to do stuff that he's already done. We've begged him to give us things that he has already given us. And what he's saying is he is trying to get us to comprehend that he has made us kings and priests. Now, what does that mean? You, if you're watching me, if you're born again, and especially, hallelujah, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and especially if you know the word, he created you a king and a priest. What does a king do? A king rules in the earth. Now, we do it on behalf of God. He's the one and only God. And in case there's anybody watching me that thinks maybe I'm getting towards New Age, no, I'm not. There's only one God, the one and only Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of his people, Israel. Okay, that is the one true God. That's what I'm talking about. And in respect to him, he is our Lord. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, came in the flesh. He is God, holy God, and he's the name above every name. So I'm not ever saying that we are God in that sense. What I am saying, though, is that as God, he ordained you and me to be ministers in his behalf, kings and rulers in the earth in his behalf. And he's looking for people who will go from begging to demanding, not of him, but of the earth. When we demand or we proclaim or we force the issue, you know, let's say that you're casting a demon out of somebody. You don't request, you don't ask God to do that. You don't hope it happens. You take your stand and you look the thing in the eye and you tell it what it can and can't do, because God has given you authority. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority. You personally, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Well, how does that work then? God is, he's handing us a scepter, but I think a lot of people, because they didn't know that. They didn't understand that. They let their scepter fall to the ground and went back into begging mode, right? And I used to do it when I was young in the Lord and I didn't understand the scriptures very well. I loved God and I knew that he loved me. We had a relationship, but because of lack of knowledge, I was perishing. Because of lack of understanding of these concepts, I was getting clobbered and I didn't know how to win. I didn't know how to rule and reign in the earth. I didn't know how to place demands on the earth. Now that might sound strange to you, but what did Jesus say? He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's a pretty radical statement. First of all, he said, whosoever. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. So he is talking about invoking a command as a king, as a ruler, to force the earth to submit to us. Amen and amen. So the whole idea of that, if you remember when he gave them that speech, it was right on the heels of the fact that he had cursed the fig tree. And in less than 24 hours, those guys watched that thing. It died from the roots up. So he commanded, and they didn't see it right then, and he walked away. The next day, they're walking by, and there it is, it's dead. And they're surprised, they act surprised. Master, the fig tree you cursed, it's withered, it's dead. What happened? You know, like they're surprised, you see? And what he, right on the heels of that, he says, I'm telling you, whosoever shall say to this mountain. So what does that tell us? It tells us that he is looking for us to place demands in the earth, to begin to speak what we expect to happen, and to fight for it. God wants us to stand, having done all to stand. So what does that mean? The minute you make a command, Satan begins to come against you and say, see, it didn't work. See, it's still green, that fig tree. It didn't die yet. Look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. Well, you know what? How you stand is you say, oh no, in the name of Jesus, it is written, whosoever shall say to this mountain. And sometimes we speak these things. And the way you stand is you continue to, I'm going to say it this way, shove the word in the devil's face. If he tries to tell you you're not healed, if he tries to tell you, oh, you're going down financially, I beg to differ with you. We have news from a source that is from on high, from the throne of heaven. The very throne of heaven has made forever statements, eternal statements. How about this statement? God delights in the prosperity of his servant. How about that statement? People say, well, I don't like that prosperity word. You need to look it up in the Bible. It's a word, and it's in the Bible. And God says he delights in the prosperity of his servant. So if you don't like that, you're not fighting with me. You're having an issue with the Bible. Now, so God's trying to get us to understand, though, that there's ways to do things in the earth. And when we're young in the Lord and we don't know better, we ask, and asking is great. He said, ask that you may receive. Don't just go around assuming. Don't ever do this. Don't ever assume that because he promises, well, it'll just happen when he's ready. I used to think that way, and I never got anything. I never saw anything happen. And God had to really correct me. And some of his correction was a little brusque, if you know what I'm saying, a little abrupt, a little firm, maybe. You know, he wasn't yelling at me, but he had to correct me a little sharply because I was steeped and wrong thinking. And sometimes God has to shake it, awake it, you know, to get you to understand that there's things he desires in the earth. God desires to glorify himself through his church, through you, through me. And you say, me, little me, I'm not anybody. Well, I'm not either. Hallelujah. No, none of us are anybody except Jesus. And yet, amazingly, every one of us is called to do something. And we all have gifts. And I'm going to tell you what I see sometimes. Sometimes when I look at people, you know, everybody sees a little differently in the spirit, okay? Everybody sees differently. But one of the things I tend to see is seeds of giftings and anointings and callings that God has put in his people. And what I see is sometimes a seed, as it's watered with the word and with prayer, it begins to grow up. And it begins to grow. And sometimes when you're early in your walk and you hear God say that you're called, or you have a sense or an anointing or an unction, you just know there's something you're going to do for God. And yet it doesn't seem to happen. You know, and I'm talking to somebody here, and maybe a year goes by, and a couple of years go by, and then it just seems like, well, I guess it's, you know, maybe I missed it. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I took the wrong path. I know I'm talking to somebody. Maybe not everybody, okay? But this is what happens. There is some years where those seeds are growing, they're sprouting, but they're still internal to you. No one can see them because it's happening on the inside. And so I used to wonder, I mean, for years, God was telling me certain things I was called to do. And I knew with everything in me that it was God. I knew it was God. And yet there was not only no evidence of it, but there were a million reasons why that could never come to pass. I mean, it was impossible. At one point in my life, it was just literally, I won't go into the details, but it was impossible for it to happen. And yet I knew it was God's voice to me. And so what's going on there? He makes a promise and there's a delay. Well, of course, we know Moses had a long, long delay, right? Abraham had a long, long delay. Almost everybody worth their salt in the scriptures had a long delay. But what's really going on? They are being prepared to carry the thing. Now, the gifting is already in you. And some of you know you're called. You know you've got it. You've got the goods and you know it. You know, it's in there. But what's happening? Your vessel is being prepared to carry the thing. And to carry it in a way that will bring the glory of God. And to carry it in a way where it's not just a work of the flesh and the dispensation of knowledge that you learned in your head, but it is a work of the Spirit or a manifestation of the glory, His presence being released. That's a big deal, right? Because when you listen, a word spoken by the Spirit, in other words, if you just say a sentence because I said it, it may have some clout. Or if you say something that you heard God say 50 years ago, that will have some clout. But what really has clout is when you're quickened by the Spirit in you to say it right now. Then what it is it's a living moment, a living word, and it goes like an arrow into the heart of the hearer, the listener. And we'd see all the time where God will say something by the Spirit, and it may even be a sentence that maybe I wouldn't have, in my flesh, maybe I wouldn't have picked that sentence to say. You know, maybe I wouldn't have said it quite that way. God's had me say some unusual things, you know. The other day, I was praying with a sweet young man. We were on the telephone. I've never met him. He was a total stranger to me. Just a sweet young man, about 17 or 18 years old, loves the Lord. And I saw a picture of this very thing. I saw some seeds in him that were sprouting in him. And the Lord was telling him, yes, I've put these things in you. Yes, I am preparing you to do a thing. And yes, it will come to pass, but don't be in a hurry. Don't rush it. Don't force it. And don't try to make it happen because I'm doing this thing. So I went on talking about this garden and the seeds. And I even saw the parable of the sower. And I saw that the Lord was saying to this young man, you have good soil, really good soil. And this has been planted well. You know, this is going to grow well. But you can't hurry a garden, can you? You cannot make. I'm growing lettuce in a little pot by my window. I have a little pot with some potting soil. I'm growing some lettuce, you know, just for fun. And, you know, it's slow, you know, and it's going to be, it says 50 to 60 days before I get to, you know, eat some lettuce. You know, it's slow. You cannot hurry a garden, and nor can you hurry those seeds that God has put in you. But what was so interesting to me, my point is this, God gave me that by the Spirit, meaning I had a sense, an unction, a feeling that I should say these things to this young man. At the end of that, he said, well, that's really interesting, because he said, my favorite song is called The Garden by Misty Edwards. And he said, I listen to it every day. And the idea is that I'm God's garden. Now, see, God knew what that would mean to that young man. And what I want to say to you is God is going to use you. You're going to grow more and more sensitive to the way the Holy Spirit woos people. You know, there are times as you grow closer and closer to the Father, you'll become just accustomed to the way the Holy Spirit might move one way with one person, and He might move another way with another. There are some times when God will have me be very, very gentle and soft and just so, so merciful. And other times when He'll have me say something that's in a way that's very much out of character with my personality, almost like a rough statement. It's almost shocking when it happens. But what I've learned over time is that's because that person couldn't hear any other way. I was dealing with a group of singers. I used to work with singers, and And I remember I was always, you know, my personality type, I'm very laid back, I'm very soft spoken. And at the end of our rehearsal, the man playing the piano, he said, listen, you've got to be rough. You've got to be rude. I said, I don't want to, love is not rude. And he said, listen, these people do not respect you. You got to be tougher. And I came to understand some people hear differently than others. The reason I'm saying all this is God is getting ready to do a thing and he is preparing us to do it. I'm telling you that I don't think it's too far off when we're going to see people not just coming to us, but it's going to be so easy to win souls. You know, there's a scripture that says, do the work of a soul winner, do the work of an evangelist. And he was actually speaking to someone who that was not his office. You know, and I take heart with that scripture. You know, I tend to be more towards the prophetic than the evangelist. But I love the fact that God's starting to use me as a soul winner. You know, he who wins souls is wise. And I'm telling you, if ever there was a season, we're walking into it right now. I believe that there's a great season for souls. And God will even, if we ask him, he will give us wisdom how to reach certain souls, how to reach the ones that need reaching. He's going to give us ways. Ask him for ideas. Ask him for methods. Ask him what to do. He's going to show you. And some of you who've never, there's people on here, you've never been able to win a soul. God will help you. You've never been able to feel like you were used of God. Listen to me. This is a day where we're all going to be used of God, all of us. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be, I'm telling you, the day will come and we'll have meetings and people will be so excited about sharing their testimony of how God used them. You will hardly won't even be able to have a meeting. That was bad English. You'll hardly be able to have a meeting because there'll be so much testifying and so many new people who came who just got saved. You know, hallelujah, there's been some prophecies and I think we're just entering the season of the great soul harvest. You know, it's amazing to me. The Bible says night comes when no man can work while it is, you know, keep doing, it says trying to reconnect. Okay, hope I didn't lose you. It blipped for a minute and said it was trying to reconnect. So if you got a blip, I'm sorry. We know that Facebook is under a lot of load these days. Hallelujah. But we're entering a season now where I believe this might be what we would call the evening. There's still some daylight, but I don't think it's a whole lot. So there's still some daylight and we need to be working while it's day. Now, I know there's a lot of distractions and I know we have to ask the Lord how much news you're allowed to watch, because if you watch too much, you know, your hair is going to start to get curly and fall out. You know, don't watch too much of it, but watch enough and be careful what you watch and be careful who you listen to. Because we really need to focus on the news from heaven, because that's what people need and that's what we need. We're going to need to know the news from heaven, the good news. It's good news. And it's news that's so good, it's almost hard to believe. But God wants us to carry such a mantle of peace that people sense it. You know, I can't help myself. I have to share the story. I shared it on the Word of the Month, so somebody will hear it that way, but you're going to hear it again. There was an Italian doctor who told a story just in the last week. For years, he and his fellow doctors, his friends, were atheists. And he said, we were raised up in science and we believed that, you know, there could be no God. But he said, you know, with all that was going on in Italy and all the great difficulty, what was happening was they were becoming overwhelmed. He said they came to the, he didn't use these exact words, but he said, we realized that we had done as much as we could do. So that's like saying you came to the end of yourself. Now, in the midst of this, they're realizing they can only do so much. They were tired, they were exhausted, worked too many hours. And what began to happen is a man came in who was 75 years old, and he would bring his Bible, and he would go and read his Bible and read scriptures to some of the patients, right? The patients were very, very sick. And this man had an anointing of peace. And these doctors began to see the peace on this guy. And these doctors said, at some point, they said they knew he had something that they needed. And he and his friend, two doctor friends, became saved. Now, see, I'm just telling you that if we carry the anointing of peace, and that's a gift, a free gift from God. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives unto you, give I to you. Now, when I read that, when I first read that scripture years ago, I think I was probably about 25, 30 years old. And when I read it, I thought, you know what struck me about it? He was giving me his own peace, not just a piece of peace. He was giving me Jesus's own anointing of peace. And that's a real anointing that you can carry with you all the time. Even if there is fire on the right and a bomb on the left, you know what? We've had some stuff happen. You know what? It could never take the peace that Jesus gave to me. You know, I see it. I hear the noise. You know, I smell the fire. I see the bomb. You know, we've had all kinds of stuff happen that, you know, in the natural, would it have been scary? You bet. You know, very scary, you know, in every way. But you know what? It couldn't touch the peace that's on the inside. And Jesus wants every one of us believers to walk in that, to say, you know, yeah, I get that that's happening. I see it. I'm aware. I'm not, you know, blind, deaf, and dumb. I'm aware that things are happening and that in the natural that could be scary, but I have a higher piece of news. I have a greater piece of news that God has said he will be with me. He's going to take care of me. He's actually obligated himself. Isn't that amazing? He's held himself accountable by his word. Isn't that the coolest thing? You know, he didn't just speak the word and walk away. That the word of God, it is forever settled in heaven. All things are held together by the word of his power. I mean, the chair, if you're sitting on a chair, that chair is held together by the word of his power. Your spleen is held together by the word of his power. Your optic nerves, your ears, your knees, your little toenail, your financial plans, your 401k, everything's held together by the word of his power. Now, here's the good news. His word is forever settled in heaven. The word is eternal. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. So you have to get this revelation. This will really help you walk in faith, and it will help you walk in great power, is that what Jesus said is more real than concrete. It is more eternal than anything we've ever seen in our life. It is eternally, it is the substance of heaven. And even when we've stepped over, with this tent that I'm wearing, this body that I'm wearing, if that should pass away, my spirit man immediately steps over into God's world. And did you know that the word of God will be more real there? It will be as real and more real there. It holds everything together. There will still be classes. People will still be going to classes on the word of God. See, you know what our problem is? We've underestimated the word of God and the power of the word of God. We've elevated our emotional response to circumstances above the word. Now, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? Sounds tough. But listen, I had to repent. I had to change my whole life on this point, or I'd still be walking in disaster and complete failure in every area of my life. And you know why? The truth is, I didn't understand these concepts. I had horrible circumstances, and they were really bad. I had lost everything, and I loved God. I didn't understand why. God began to teach me that part of the problem was I was elevating the circumstances and my emotions. Poor me, this is so bad, wah, 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 God, come and help me. I'm looking for God to come and do something when God was saying, wait a minute, I've given you the word of God. I've given you the scepter. I've given you the power. I've given you proclamation. I've given you the scriptures, but what you're doing is whining and crying and complaining and walking around in self-pity, and you're elevating your emotions. Now, he didn't use those words. He's much nicer than that, but I'm paraphrasing the idea because I want everybody to get this, because if you get this, you will walk in power, because the power is in the word. You know, a lot of people, they say they want some great person to lay hands on them and anoint them and impart something. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's nice, but it has its downfall. The real power comes when we elevate the word and we begin to operate by that word. Because listen, it says he confirms his word with signs following. He doesn't confirm Holly. He didn't confirm Peter or even Paul. He confirmed his word with signs following. And so how we use the sword of the Spirit, that's the extent to which we will see power. And so God's trying to get us to a place where we rule and reign and even demand the earth to obey us. Just one example. You know, some years ago, I like to know the Lord's opinion. I hear all kinds of teachers, you know, and I hear, you know, many opposing doctrines, right? Pick any subject and you can find people that are polar opposites in their doctrines, and they even have scriptures that seem to back them up, right? You know what I'm talking about. In this particular case, I was hearing people talk about finances and prosperity and provision and blah, blah, blah. And I've always had God has gifted me. I have a great love for the financial systems of God. He's gifted me in that area. It was like the first thing he ever taught me. The very first, literally the first thing I ever learned from God was about finances. And so I was driving down the road and I'd been hearing different preachers and what they were saying about it. And I wanted to know God's heart. And I was driving down the road. And I said, God, what do you say about this? What is your heart about this? I see people opposing the idea of provision. You know, I don't really understand that. And I see people saying prosperity. I see people that have gone into almost what looked like greed to me. I've seen, you know, pretty much you can look at every end of the spectrum, right, in the body of Christ. So I wanted to know God's opinion. And he said, now this is, again, this is a paraphrase. I might not remember the exact words, but he basically said something like this to me. He said, the gold is mine, the oil is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, all the diamonds are mine, the stocks, the bonds, all of it is mine. He said, and I would appreciate it, and he was using this tone of voice, if my church would speak to the resource of the earth and call those resources in so that they can be used for the gospel. So what he's saying is, when we speak to the mountain, when we speak to the resources, when we, excuse me, I got an itchy nose. Somebody went, oh, don't touch your face. Well, I haven't been out in a while, so I can touch my face. Hallelujah. So what he was saying is, the resources of the earth, they are subject to man. What is man that you are mindful of him? Right? God put all things are subject under our feet, the Bible says. All the things on the earth are subject under your feet. God is waiting for somebody who says, I've had about enough of this. I'm not going to be poor anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be poor. I'm not going to be sick. I'm not going to be broke. I'm not going to be crabby. I'm not going to have this addiction. Whatever the deal is, God is looking for someone who will stand up and take the scepter, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and say, no more. We're done with that. We're not doing this. We're not doing this in my family. You know, we are to rule and reign in the earth, not over people. Now remember, to be gentle with people. But God is looking for kings and priests. Now that part was the king part. Isn't that awesome? We are kings and priests. And so the next part is, he wants us to be priests. What does that mean nowadays? We have a high priest who is Jesus. He's brought his blood. He's the one that ever lives to make intercession for us. But what is our, do we have a job? Yeah, I think we do. He's been showing me lately, he desires for us to apply the blood, to verbalize it in the earth. Sing about the blood, speak about the blood, pour the blood upon your home, upon your family, upon your kids, upon your cousins and your uncles. Pour the blood upon the United States. And I've shared this a number of times, but I think it bears repeating. The other night we were praying and I saw a picture of the globe, and it's just like the old Sherwin-Williams logo from 1893. It's a picture of the globe covered like a paint bucket is pouring red paint on it. And I saw that, but I knew that it was God saying, I want you to sing about the blood, speak about the blood, pour the blood over the whole earth. And I believe he wants us as believers to use the blood to defeat what the enemy's trying to do. Okay? Because what the enemy's trying to do doesn't even bear speaking about. But of course, he's trying to take people out. He's trying to mess with the economy. He's trying to do a whole bunch of things. And he plays dirty. But we have authority and he does not. Jesus has stripped him completely naked of all authority. Isn't that awesome? Jesus led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He took Satan captive. He stripped him. And you know, if you do a little study on that, you'll find that that is a reference to ancient Rome. When they would go to battle, they would battle their enemies, They would defeat them, and they would strip them, often completely naked. The generals, they'd strip them and their families, and they would drive them ahead. They would drive them like you drive cattle, like you herd cattle, down the street in a big public parade, and they would have a chariot. And all the ammo, all the swords, all the weaponry, all their that they stole, that they took from the enemy, was all taken. They were stripped clean. This is what Jesus did to Satan. This is the picture that is given us in the scriptures. He stripped them clean. He took all their goods, and he took it, and that was in the chariot with the general. This is something they did in Rome. They did all the time. It was a big thing. This is where the Arc of Triumph came from. This is what it was about. You did this parade through there. And then even says he gave gifts to men, and that day they would mint coins, and they would fling these coins out as gifts to people, and they would throw big banquets because the battle was won, you see, and they wanted people to see, this is the enemy, he's naked, not just naked from clothes, he doesn't even have any weaponry anymore. That's the picture. That's what we're supposed to get. I go into a lot more detail. If you want some stuff, you can get on our website. There's a thing called Victorious in Battle. I really go into a lot of detail about how much authority you and I have. It's amazing the level of authority that we've been given in the earth. And I feel like God, he does love us so much, but he is looking for somebody that will stand up and put their foot down and say, I'm not taking this. I'm not allowing this. I'm not allowing that. We will have this and we will have that. He's looking for somebody with enough guts and gumption. But he doesn't just want you saying it in your opinion. He wants you to use the word. Okay, Satan cannot come against the word of God because it has all authority over him and he knows it. Okay, so in this day, God is preparing us. This is a season of deep preparation. You know, a few weeks ago I heard it seemed like the Lord was saying very loudly, now that I have your attention. Now, he doesn't send sickness and disease, but he does have our attention. I think there's a lot of people, even those who have not been sold out to God, even those who are not born again, that he has their attention. And he is looking for something from all of us. If you're the most dedicated, the least dedicated, or somewhere in the middle, he's looking for something from us. What God wants is a oneness. Listen, the Bible says, he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. And that is actually a spiritual law. That is the case. But let me just say this. Not everybody walks in that in manifestation, okay? Now, it is a fact. He wants us one with him. But it is a journey to grow to a place where you're walking in him. And you have to learn how to do that. He will help teach you. But he wants you to walk so close to him that if you're, you know, let's say that you go out to the grocery store. And let's say you're about to turn this way and you get a little check in your spirit. It just feels like a little bit, wait a minute, don't do that. It may come like he says it, but quite often it's more of a sense, an unction. That's the Holy Ghost. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And quite often it's not with a voice. Sometimes you'll have a scripture come up, you know, out of the blue, you'll remember a scripture. Or out of the blue, you'll remember a song that's full of the word. I know I have a friend that her car suddenly caught on fire, like it exploded in flames, the hood. And she didn't know what to do. She was, frankly, it really was terrifying to her. And she jumped out of the car and she heard a song, Fear Not, The Lord Is With You. I mean, like she heard that song and she knew that God was saying, I'll handle this. And immediately a guy pulls up, he's got a fire extinguisher, it's out, you know. But even for that moment, God didn't want her to fear. And so the Holy Spirit, he'll bubble stuff up. That's the way he talks. It's not always, you know, it's not often. In fact, I've never heard an audible voice. It's a still small voice or a picture, an idea, a sense. But we can grow more and more sensitive to hearing and sensing what the Holy Spirit is doing. And the more that you do that, especially the more that you just obey, you know, it won't always make sense to your mind. Would you please stop putting your mind above the mind of God? You know, some of you have to calculate everything before you'll agree to it. That's the surest way to fail. God will tell you things that will not make sense to your head, you know, and, You know, we have tons of scriptures in that show, tons of stories in the Bible that say that God said to do things that didn't make sense, right? But if the person obeyed, then you saw the glory of God, okay? And so God wants us to lean not to our own understanding. You know, people used to say to me, well, God gave you a mind to use it, yeah, to study the word, you know, hallelujah. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And I think, again, the problem that we have is that we trust our own understanding and our own heart, and we don't trust God. So we are led by circumstances. We're led by emotions. We're led by what some preacher said. Listen, a good preacher will say, you know, what is God saying to you? You know, if I get a word, that's okay. But you can't be living on somebody else's words. God wants you to grow up in all things into Christ. And I can almost hear people saying, well, God doesn't talk to me that way. Yeah, he actually does. God talks to all of his children. But what happens is we don't always recognize it. We don't always understand his voice. So there's a growth. There's a journey. But if you pay attention, if you tend to him, if you attend him, if you attend the Holy Spirit, if you attend the word, it will come to a place where you kind of know what God is saying. And see, that's a good thing, because what happens, this isn't going to happen. I don't believe this is going to happen, but the day could come where there is no communication. You can't run to some preacher. You know, the day could come. Listen, if they ever throw you in jail, just remember these words. If they take your Bible, let's say you get like Paul, and you're so used to God that they take your Bible and they throw you in a cell. You're all by yourself. There's no help. There's no preaching. You can't listen to YouTube. You can't, you know, stream Derek Prince. You can't listen to Andy, you know, all these great preachers. But you're by yourself. Listen to me. No one can take from you the spirit that God put in you. No, they can't beat it out of you. They can't take it from you. No one can ever take from you the glory and the presence of God. You, whether you feel it or not, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. I will be with you even to the end of the age. He's never going to leave you, never. And if you're ever stuck in a place where you're feeling alone, I promise you, you're not. God is with you, and his love for you literally cannot cease. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you in a way that will never stop. It will never cease. And if you let him, if you'll submit to him, if you'll spend time with him, he will grow you into a force to be reckoned with. And every believer, I just want to say this, every born-again believer has the right to hear God as well as any prophet. It's a Bible promise. He said you won't have a need to go to your neighbor to see what God is saying to you. But I'll write the law in your heart. What did he mean? I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You can develop your own relationship. Amen. God wants you to grow up in all things into Christ. I can't wait for the day where you're moving in so much power, where you're operating in so much power, where miracles are attending, and you're preaching by the glory and the grace of God that I actually hear about. I hear it on the news. Hallelujah. Can't wait. You see, because all of us are called to do something in this day, and it'll all, each of us is a little different. That's okay, right? Some of you will teach. Some of you are called to be disciplers. You're going to disciple, if that's a word. I think I just made it up. But you'll be called to disciple people. Teachers, you have the ability to study and study and study and study and study. And years of study, and you haven't done a lot of teaching, but years of study. Hallelujah. We had a little blip there. Hope you're still with me. I saw a little blip on the screen. But when you study for years and you feel like, you know, I have a friend that just spends hours and hours and hours in the Word, you know, but that's so wonderful, because often that's a teaching gift in preparation, okay? And the day is coming when your gifts, whatever they are going to come forth. And right now, in Jesus' name, I call those gifts forth. I am calling forth. Some of you, you've been shut down even by leaders that didn't, you know, they probably meant well, but maybe they didn't know better, or maybe it wasn't time yet. But right now, I'm just speaking by the Spirit, and I speak to all the giftings in you that are dormant or have lying dormant, or even giftings and anointings and callings that have been given up on, or maybe you felt like it was too long. I'm speaking to dreams, hopes, deferred dreams that are laying on the ground because the time went too long. I speak life to the dreams. I speak life to the hopes and the promises that are from God, the callings, the giftings, the anointings, the words from God. There's someone I'm talking to, God gave you a word years ago, and it's rolled around in you. It's been seasoning, it's been stewing, it's been being made ready. But you know what? A word is only good in due season, in the due time frame. It's no good to give a word before it's time or after it's too late. The real power of the word is when you deliver it spot on, right in the moment. That's the best, okay? And so God is, sometimes he'll give you a word and you might have that thing simmer for a while. Don't worry. I call that thing to life. I call your gifts and your callings to life. And we place a draw on the gifts that are in you. Because in this day, I'm hearing, it's not quite yet, but we're getting close to all hands on deck, where everybody is going to be used of God. Everybody's going to have their part to play. Some of you are going to write, actually saw somebody, you're going to write little mini books. You're going to write little mini books that might seem like the ABCs to most Christians. But let me tell you something. They're going to be needed in the days to come. They're going to be needed. People are going to go, how do I serve God? How do I pray? How do I read the Bible? How do I study? Little mini books. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody watching right now, you think you already know it. I'm just confirming to you. You're going to write simple instructions in little books, okay? And God will help you do it.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.